Chapter 5. Visitors. The day after the fire, I wished to see Mr. Rochester, but the morning passed as usual. All day, I thought about the mysterious character of Grace Poole. Why wasn't she dismissed from her master's service after almost killing him in his bed? So many unanswered questions flooded through my mind. As evening approached, there was still no sign of Mr. Rochester. After dinner, I went into Mrs. Fairfax's room for tea. "Mr. Rochester has had a good day for his journey," said Mrs. Fairfax, looking out the window. "Journey? Has Mr. Rochester gone anywhere?" I asked her. "Oh, he set off the moment he had eaten breakfast. He's gone to Mr. Eshton's place, about 10 miles away from Millcote. I believe there is a party happening there. We probably won't see him again for a week or more. Mr. Rochester is so talented and lively in the company of others, and I believe the ladies are very fond of him." "Are there ladies at Mr. Eshton's manor?" I asked Mrs. Fairfax. "Yes, Mrs. Eshton and her 3 daughters, all very graceful young ladies. And there's Blanche and Mary Ingram, both very beautiful women. I believe Mr. Rochester is quite fond of Blanche, in fact." I was about to ask Mrs. Fairfax about a possible union between Mr. Rochester and Miss Ingram, but Adele came in, and the conversation turned to something else. Later that evening, when alone in my room, I thought about the information I had been told. I felt like a fool for thinking that Mr. Rochester was interested in me in any way. I then resolved to restrain my imagination when it came to myself and Mr. Rochester. Mr. Rochester had been away for about a fortnight when the post brought Mrs. Fairfax a letter. After Mrs. Fairfax had read the document, I asked her when Mr. Rochester was expected to return home. "He says he'll be home in 3 days, but he won't be coming alone. He sends directions for all the best bedrooms to be prepared and the library and drawing room to be thoroughly cleaned," said Mrs. Fairfax. She then hurried away to prepare for his arrival. Thursday, the day of Mr. Rochester's expected arrival, quickly came. It was past 6 o'clock in the evening when we finally heard the coaches and horses arriving. Adele flew to the window to look out, and I followed, taking care to stand on one side so that I could see without being seen. I saw Mr. Rochester arrive on his black horse, Pilot bounding after him. At his side rode a lady dressed in a purple riding coat. "Miss Ingram!" exclaimed Mrs. Fairfax, who had come up behind me. She then hurried away to see her guests in. The next day, Mr. Rochester, Miss Ingram, and the others who had arrived the previous evening all set out early in the morning on an excursion. Miss Ingram, as the day before, rode next to Mr. Rochester on her horse. As we were watching them leave, Mrs. Fairfax mentioned that Adele and I were meant to meet the party in the evening. "I'm sure I need not go," I said to Mrs. Fairfax. "Well, I told Mr. Rochester that you weren't used to company, especially strangers, but he insisted that you and Adele be present in the drawing room after dinner." I did not look forward to going into the drawing room that evening, but Adele could not wait. She had been in a state of excitement all day. Once dressed in our finest clothes, I had only one nice silver-gray dress, we descended the stairs. Adele and I found the room empty as the party was still eating dinner in the next room. I sat at the window seat, hoping to be out of view once the party entered. Soon enough, voices could be heard, and about 8 people came into the room. They didn't take much notice of me, and all quickly dispersed around the room and began chatting. Later I found out their names, but I recognized Blanche Ingram right away. I had already seen her with Mr. Rochester. Dressed in white, with black curls falling to her shoulders, she was very beautiful, and I could see why gentlemen would admire her. However, after some time observing her with others, I found her to be very arrogant. When Mr. Rochester came into the room, I pretended to be absorbed in reading a book. Without looking at me, he took a seat at the other side of the room and began talking to some of the ladies. I waited patiently for an opportunity to leave the room unnoticed. As soon as I found one, I left my corner of the room by the side door. As I was about to go up the stairs to my bedroom, I heard the drawing room door open and close, and a gentleman came out. It was Mr. Rochester. "How do you do?" he asked me. "I am very well, sir." "Why did you not come and speak to me in the room?"
"I didn't want to disturb you, as you seemed engaged, sir," I replied.
"Well, tonight I excuse you, but understand that so long as my visitors stay, I expect you to appear in the drawing room every evening. It is my wish, so don't disregard it. Now go. Good night, my—" He stopped, bit his lip, and quickly left me. Busy and happy days followed. There was life and movement in the house all day long. I passed many hours in the company of Mr. Rochester's guests at his request, but he never turned his eyes in my direction. All of his attention was taken up by Miss Ingram. I was sure that they would marry, and soon. These happy days at Thornfield were interrupted when I was called downstairs one day and found a visitor waiting for me. It was Bessie's husband, Robert. He had traveled to Thornfield from Gateshead Hall to inform me of my cousin John Reed's death and of Aunt Reed's illness. He said my aunt had been asking to see me. He also said Bessie wasn't sure if Mrs. Reed was in her right mind after her stroke, but she thought it best to send for me. He wanted me to leave with him the next morning. "Yes, Robert, I will go with you. It seems like I should." "I think so too, Miss Jane." I then went to look for Mr. Rochester in order to get permission to leave Thornfield Hall for a week or two. When I found him in the study, I told him about the death of John Reed, who used to torment me as a child, and the illness of my Aunt Reed. "And what good can you do her? No, Jane, she might be dead by the time you reach her. Why visit a woman who cast you away?"
"Sir, that was long ago. I cannot disregard her wishes now."
He made me promise that I would come back, since I could not tell him how long I would be away for. We finally said goodbye, and I started my preparations for my journey that was to begin the next day. In the evening of my arrival at Gateshead Hall, I went to see Aunt Reed. She didn't say much to me during the meeting and regarded me coldly. Her feelings toward me appeared unchanged and unchangeable. I attempted to ask her a few questions, but she only talked excitedly about John Reed as if he were still alive. In truth, his death was unexpected and was the cause of her stroke. I didn't see Mrs. Reed again for 10 days. When she was finally able to have visitors again, she told me to fetch a letter from her dresser. "Read the letter," she said. It was from my uncle, John Eyre, who was living in Madeira. He had written to Mrs. Reed to find out where I was living and how I was. He wished to adopt me and leave me whatever he had when he died. It was dated 3 years ago. "Why did I never hear of this?" I asked her. "Because I disliked you too much and didn't want to help you become wealthy. I could not forget your behavior as a child, so I took my revenge on you by keeping you from your wealthy uncle. I wrote to him and told him that you had died of typhus fever at Lowood. Now, do as you please. Write him and tell him you are alive and well." "Love me or hate me as you will," I finally said. "You have my full and free forgiveness. Now be at peace." Poor suffering woman, I thought. It was too late for her to change her way of thinking. Living, she hated me, and dying, she must still hate me. Mrs. Reed died that night at 12 o'clock. I was ready to go back to Thornfield Hall, but I didn't know how long I would stay there. I had heard from Mrs. Fairfax while I was away. The party had dispersed, and Mr. Rochester had already left for London 3 weeks earlier. He was expected to return in a fortnight. It seemed to her that Mr. Rochester's marriage to Miss Ingram would soon take place.